Did you ever wonder, you know, about the Jews and why they reacted so violently there in Acts 22:22? Let me just post the verse. I don't think that's in our verse list. Well, go ahead, Nathan, if you could post that. Acts 22:22 before we get to the verse list. We want to take a look at four things about that. We'll look first at the covenant with God that those Jews were under at that time. Secondly, we'll look at what, I shouldn't say at that time, the covenant that they were looking back to that God had made with Israel. And then secondly, we'll look at what the Bible reports that Christ told Paul four chapters before this Acts 22:22 event in the temple vision. And then thirdly, we'll consider the apparent conflict that those Jews saw when they heard Paul preaching what the Lord had revealed to him. And fourthly, we'll see what that proves, that that anger that they had. Acts 22:22, and they gave audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth. For it is not fit that he should live." So let's start with the covenant that these Jews were counting on. All right, let's go to Genesis 12, verse 1 and 2 and 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee. That's what we count on a lot of the times, isn't it? What we refer to about the Greeks. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. That's in there too. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Well, take a look. This Galatians 3:13 is not in the verse list. Could you add that in there? Bring it up, post it. There's this other aspect. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Look back at the verse just before, Genesis 12:3. Cursed. I will curse him that curseth thee. Jesus Christ was the seed of Abram. And they cursed him. They hung him on a tree. Israel falls under this part of Genesis, of that covenant now, Genesis 12:3. I will curse him that curseth thee. They were under a curse then from that crucifixion. All right, well, let's go on to Ephesians 2, verse 11. Ephesians 2, 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision, that at that time, who verified that they were uncircumcision? Who validated that? Called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That's the only entrance, the only reason that circumcision or Israel or Jews is mentioned in the text, in that text there, that context. And not that they are an element or an agent in this goings-on here, but just that they validated that the uncircumcision were the uncircumcision. Because of the fact that, you know, it's like you can't have people that are untold until you have some people that are told something. You know, what are they untold about? Same thing here. There would be no uncircumcision unless if somebody was circumcised to leave the rest uncircumcised. So, wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you uncircumcision, were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. At that time, that's where the hope was, in the covenants of promise that was to Israel and to the commonwealth, the larger, those that had some commonality with the nation of Israel by blessing Israel that we just saw in Genesis 12:3. So that was, those Jews in Acts 22:22 had this problem. They, for one thing, they didn't admit it, but they were cursed, and they were without God in the world at that point after the fall, after the Israel's fall in Acts 7. All right. Secondly, let's keep in mind that Gentiles in general were under that curse of alienation from God's promise, covenants of promise. But we saw that in those verses there in Genesis 12:3, if you missed it, and Ephesians 2:11-12. And with that in mind, observe as Christ, as he revealed his remedy for that alienation by his later wide sending of Paul, sending him to all men with the gospel of the grace of God, which was to be preached shortly after his temple vision. It wasn't ascending at the temple vision. It was notification to Paul that shortly he would be sent to all people. And that temple vision was in Acts 18:22, and he was sent in Acts 20:6, just after he had written 2 Corinthians and Romans and sent them to their destinations by Phoebe, and I don't recall who carried 2 Corinthians. Anyway, Paul tells about that temple vision later on, after he received the temple vision, and then later in Acts 20, he was sent, Acts 20:6, he was sent to all men. After that, he tells about that temple vision to the Jews. He says in Acts 22:17, and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem. Now, is Paul on the Damascus Road here at this point? He's in Jerusalem. When I was come again to Jerusalem. Is this at the time when he was saved on his way to Damascus? No. He was coming to Jerusalem. He was at Jerusalem. Even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. Verse 18, and saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And that's what came back at him when he is coming back. He has come back to Jerusalem again here. And he's telling them what happened when he was at Jerusalem before in Acts 18, when he saw the temple vision. But this is Acts 22, and the Lord tells him, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. So you look through Paul's various trips to Jerusalem, and you find the shortest one, the only one that he leaves immediately and just doesn't say hi. He does say hi, but he doesn't say bye. It just says three words for that visit, saluted the church, and then he's gone. He's on his way to Antioch. That's in Acts 18:22. So, but it goes on, this report that Paul has given to the Jews in Acts 22:19, he goes on, and I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue, them that believed on thee. And when, in other words, they're not going to beat me up, Lord. It's hard to imagine arguing with God when God told you something's going to happen. But anyway, verse 20, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death. He was an accessory, at least, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. He aided in that way. He was an accomplice. Acts 22:21, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now, he'd been sent to the Gentiles in Acts 9, I shouldn't say sent. He was told he would be sent in Acts 9:15. He was told he would be sent to kings too, and that didn't occur until Acts 24, I think it is. It was a notification of a future sending, and to the children of Israel. And that's Acts 9:15. But he was actually sent to the Jews with the gospel of salvation in Acts 13, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Actually, verses 2, 3, and 4. So, the Lord says to Paul, and here now Paul is reporting this to the Jews, what the Lord had said to him, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. They gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, it is not fit that he should live. So that's the expression of their anger, and we can begin to see partly why, because of what actually, you know, when we looked at the covenant back there in part one. Let's go to the third thing here, though, and look at the apparent conflict that produced in the Jew's mind, in the mind of the Jew there listening to him, the ones that would not believe that Jesus was their risen Messiah. Those apostate Jews worked hard at keeping the law and the covenants, and it was beyond their comprehension that God could save those alienated Gentiles that he had promised to curse. How could this be? Well, they didn't realize yet that they were cursing the very seed of Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ, by hanging him on the tree. Jews could only understand and believe God's newly revealed pattern for salvation when they turned their hearts to believe that Jesus was the risen Messiah. But look at 2 Corinthians 3:15 to 16. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, when their heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And you can see when that's taken away, when they turn to the Lord, when the Lord pours out on them a spirit of grace and supplication in Zechariah 12:10, at the return of the Lord, not before. All right, fourthly, we can see that proves that Paul's sending in God's later, wider dispensation of the grace of God to all men, it was different from Paul's sending in his earlier dispensation of the gospel of Christ, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It was wider. It was to all people, not just to Jews and Greeks, or Jews and those that blessed Israel. So during God's earlier dispensation of the gospel of Christ, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, God gave Paul his it's in Romans 10:1, we can look at it. Paul had, you know, it was his heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. That fits right into that dispensation. People call it a transition period. I like to call it by the Bible name for it, dispensation of the gospel is what the Bible calls that period. They could be saved not into Israel. That wouldn't save them. That would give them a standing for future salvation when the Lord returned to blot out their sins, Acts 3:19. For them to be saved at that point, they would have to be saved into the body of Christ, as it says in Romans 11:5, where it's called a remnant according to the election of grace. Those people that would believe Paul's gospel, even though they had been born an Israelite and had tried to keep the law and the covenants, whether they had believed that Jesus was the Messiah or not, they could believe Paul's gospel. And they could, the gospel that, you know, if you believe Christ died for your sins and rose for your justification, you're saved. So, during God's later, wider dispensation of the grace of God to all men in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, Paul begins to exercise this ministry which I have received of the Lord, he says, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So Paul's later sending that he tells about, 18 verses later in Acts 20:24, it's about 15 years after, 12 to 15 years after Paul's earlier sending in Acts 13:1-4. So they're not the same. They have different dates that they were given to different people. It's the same message that saves people. You can read the message back in the dispensation of the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You can read how people are saved then, and it applies to us now. You know that it applies to us now because of Ephesians 1:12-13. But they're not different. They're not a different gospel. Let me put it this way. They're not a different saving message. But the gospel, including the recipients of who that message was sent to, the recipients is different. It's to all people. So we can see that that proves the dispensation of the grace of God during which Paul was later sent to preach to all men, it had differences from Paul's sending in Christ's earlier dispensation of the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So, okay, I hope that's clear. If not, write down a question and we'll try and be more specific when I get through with these notes anyway. A dispensation of the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek was calling out the remnant according to the election of grace. That's on the body of Christ side of those events, looking at it from the body of Christ. It called out those Jews from Israel into the body of Christ, and that was during that dispensation of the gospel. It didn't go on after that. There wasn't any special plea toward Jews to come into the body of Christ. There was the general gospel, the general plea to everybody to come in. And, you know, as you know, it's very difficult to evangelize Jews or Israelites today even. But that calling out of the remnant there, that involved those of at least 16 cities recorded in the Bible. There's Galatia, which is several cities, actually. Iconium, Lystra, Perga. But anyway, then there's also Thessalonica, Corinth, Rome, as well as those in Antioch of Syria, Salamis, Paphos, places that Paul visited during a dispensation of the gospel. Antioch of Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, Perga, we mentioned those, Berea, Athens, and early visits to Philippi before his letter to them, and early Ephesus, too, before Acts 20, when those elders went back with the news that they could preach to anybody, not just to the Jews and the Greeks. And then Paul hears that they were getting saved and in Ephesus, and he writes, Ephesians 1:15, when I heard of your faith. He hadn't heard of them being saved before. Those the newly added ones that the elders that returned after completing their duty to deliver, at that point they were completing their duty of coming down to hear their apostle Paul in Miletus. So, Romans 11, verses 7 through 15, shows God-fearing Gentiles who got circumcised, they were grafted by continued faith, not breaking that continuance of faith, they were grafted into Israel's olive tree, into Israel, not into the body of Christ. That's what the Israel tree, olive tree is. Jeremiah 11, 16 and 17 tells us that. So the King James Bible, oftentimes it'll call God-fearing Gentiles Greeks. And we just did an article on that in my notes on Facebook, if you want to go there and look at that. We may do that as a lesson sometime, I don't know. But anyway, Romans 11, verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. You remember what Israel was seeking for? Let's look in Romans 9, verses 31, 32, and 33. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. 32. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone, and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. He won't let them down, in other words. They won't be ashamed. And that includes God's exception for Gentiles. I will bless them that bless thee, in Genesis 12:3. So, let's get back to Romans 11, 7 through 15. Continuing on, going down through Romans 11. We'll do 7 again. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. Remember, they were seeking for righteousness. The righteousness, they were trying it by the righteousness of the works of the law, but God was offering them the righteousness of God. And they didn't pick up on that. So, the election hath obtained it. That would be the prophetic election. Those that chose, those Jews, during the preaching of Peter, that believed Jesus is the risen Messiah. They were in that prophetic remnant, believing the prophetic gospel that Jesus was bringing a kingdom from heaven to earth, and he will bring that kingdom still, but the immediate kingdom offer that the gospel of the kingdom was that the kingdom is at hand, repent and believe, that was past. They missed that, but that's what that prophetic remnant was, the little flock it's often called, or the church of God in Jerusalem. Let's go on. The rest were blinded, it says, and then verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, those ones that were blinded, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Well, Paul tells us later in the same chapter, in verse 25, we'll get to in a few minutes, but that their blinding, not everybody was blinded, and they were blinded in part. It was a partial blinding at that point in Acts 20 when Paul wrote Romans. So you get to the end of Acts, instead of Acts 20 and Acts 28, there's no mention of that partial blinding. It's just blinding. Romans 11:9, and David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see. That's blindness. But still partial blindness here in Romans 11, written in Acts 20. And bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall. So they stumbled at the cross, the stumbling stone, the end of Acts, end of Romans 9 tells us that was their stumbling. And they didn't have to fall, it says here. Have they stumbled that they should fall? No. But rather, through their fall, so they did eventually fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. So they fell before this was written in Acts 20. they fell before Acts 20. There are other markers too as to when they fell. They hadn't fallen yet when. It doesn't come to mind now, but it was back before Acts 6 when they started picking on Stephen. They were still able to believe the gospel that Peter preached there and in the Pentecost feast in the temple and be saved. Not saved at that point, set apart to be saved if they endured to the end. That was their provisions, wasn't it? Have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. And many people read into that, is come unto all the Gentiles, but it doesn't say all the Gentiles. It's not talking about all the Gentiles. It says who it's talking about. The Gentiles in a position to provoke Israel to jealousy. Through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing, there's an entrance of a new word, a new concept, the gradual decline of Israel after they fell. Those concepts are progressive, I guess you could call it. They're gradual. They're progressive. They come one after another. There's one line of thinking that it's all a big zap, that it came all together there at the fall of Israel. That was also lo am I. That was also their total blinding. You know, there was, well, then what's the rest of, you know, how can they be together with a Jerusalem council and Paul talking to them in Acts 15, you know, and the Galatians 2, 1 to 10, 1 to 9 goings on that is described in the Acts 15, about the Acts 15 meeting. How can that all be going on if they've fallen? How can there be credibility in what Israel says if they're not God's people anymore? If, you know, or if there's not at least some substance to them having been Israel and being in this decline, being in this diminishing phase. And also Acts 28, what's that all about? Where he reads them Isaiah's casting away curse. If there wasn't something still going on after that fall occurred in Acts 7. And Paul calls it a diminishing. Okay, and that's this whole period between Israel's fall and, well, actually, immediately after that was Paul's salvation. Between Paul's salvation and when the gospel went to all people and Israel was finally cast away in the end of Acts, that's the dispensation of the gospel, it's called. A dispensation of the gospel. Not a transition period. It doesn't say anything about the transition period in the Bible. Verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. There's only one. Always and forever, there will always only be one apostle of the Gentiles. He's our apostle. Yes, he's dead. But he's our apostle. His writings, he's the one that was sent to us with all of God's information for us that God intends for us to know about now, the revelation of the mystery. There's nobody else coming to reveal more. You know, if somebody says, I got a word from the Lord, either they're not telling the truth or it's written down in Scripture already. So, he magnifies his office. The office of apostle of the Gentiles makes it bigger. Jesus Christ made Paul the singular apostle of the Gentiles. Young's Concordance shows that the word apostle comes from apo, A-P-O, and stello, S-T-E-L-L-O, being a one sent forth, one that is sent forth, or one sent forth. Christ sent forth Paul in stages. We saw that Paul was separated from Judaism to the gospel of God. That was in on the Acts 9 road to Damascus there. Excuse me just a minute. Then in Acts 20, Paul wrote Romans, wrote these verses here in Romans 11, verses 11 to 14, showing that he was sent to the Jews, including others who believe like they were Jews, believed as if they were Jews. They believed in God's kingdom coming and ruling the world through Israel. They blessed Israel. Talking about the Greeks. who he describes. So then finally, though, this report in Acts 22 that we read earlier, where the Jews reacted so violently. In Acts 22, 17 to 21, it reveals that Paul had been sent to all the Gentiles, as revealed to Ananias Acts 9:15, that he eventually would be sent to all people. Actually, Philippians 4:15-16 pinpoints Paul's all men sending. It's even more specific there, that it pinpoints it right at Acts 20, verse 6. So let's go on with the reading. We were going down through Romans at the moment, Romans 11. We're at 14. If by any means I may provoke them to emulation. Now, this is Paul. This is not the Greeks that we read about in verse 11, provoking Israel to jealousy. This is Paul provoking Israel to emulation, to copy them which are my flesh, and might save some. And then verse 15, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Well, it's talking about the casting away here as a sure thing that's going to be happening. But if we can, I didn't put this verse in the verse list. Can we go to 11:2, Romans? Romans 11:2, yeah. And take a look at what it says there about the timing of the casting away. In Romans 11:2, it says, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Had he cast them away yet by Acts 20 when Paul wrote Romans? God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. So had it happened in Acts 7 when Israel fell? When Israel fell in Acts 7, it still applied that God had not cast away his people, which he foreknew. I don't know how much more clear I can make that. But then again, you come down to verse 15 in Romans 11. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So there will be a casting away after he has written this in Acts 20. Sometime after Acts 20, there's going to be a casting away. And we read that plainly when Paul reads that casting away curse from Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. So during the five verses there from Romans 11, verses 11 through 15, we see an outline of Israel's stumbling, their fall, their diminishing, and their casting away. Hold on, please. Israel stumbled at the cross according to Romans 9:32-33. Israel fell at the stoning, you know, when they stoned Holy Ghost filled Stephen in Acts 7. Acts 7, 58 and 59 specifically. Israel diminished from Acts 7 through Acts 28, and Israel was cast away and blinded in Acts 28, verses 25 to 29. And I didn't put the Lo Ami in there because I'm still not sure where where Scripture indicates that it. I had thought it was at the end there, but it might have been at the stoning of Stephen, either at the stoning of Stephen or else in Acts 28. Is their lo am I status. Israel's diminishing was simultaneous to salvation coming to those Gentiles that were in a position to provoke Israel to jealousy, according to Romans 11:11. They were happening at the same time. Israel was diminishing. That's an Israel event. That's not a body of Christ event. But the body of Christ event at the same time was those Gentiles, those Greeks in the synagogues, believing the gospel and provoking Israel to jealousy so that some of them might be saved. Israel's diminishing was also simultaneous to Paul's provoking Israel to emulate his salvation and save some of them, as we read in Romans 11:14, or just read it a few minutes ago. All right, now let's look at many of the places where Paul goes after the Jews and the Greeks. And you can see that's in stark contrast to after the end of Acts, where the Greeks aren't, well, they're mentioned in two epistles there. They're mentioned in an offhand, not offhand meaning sinister, but off in a, what's indirect, not indirect, coincidental, maybe. I can't think of the word I'm trying to use there. Maybe you can, but Greeks are the whole thing about Greeks and those Gentiles that followed Israel's plan of salvation. That ended when Paul was sent to all men, or maybe I should say it the other way. That ended Paul only going to the Jew first and the Greek. And that released, I mean, that was when Christ released him to go to all people. So, Acts 13:1, let's look at Paul's sending to preach the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Excuse me a minute. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Now that church in Antioch was an offshoot of the Church of God in Jerusalem. It was a prophetic little flock church outpost there. And there were certain prophets. I need to take that back. That was its origin. By the time you get to Acts 11, you know, they were scattered in Acts 9, Acts 8 and Acts 9. By the time you get to Acts 11, Paul preaches to that very church for over a year after Paul was saved. And he said in Acts 17:2 that he went, his manner was to preach three Sabbaths the gospel of God, who Jesus is. And then those that believed, he would preach to the gospel of salvation. Well, here he's preaching 52 weeks. So I maintain, although the Bible doesn't come out and say so, that's why they were first called Christians there. They were disciples, those that followed Christ on earth, and they became Christians after they believed what Paul preached to them. That became Paul's base. He kept going back to Antioch. Anyway, it says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch, this being Acts 13, it would have been after they were converted, or not converted, saved in Acts 11, 26, 25 and 26. There were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people, 5 prophets and teachers there in Antioch. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." Does that sound familiar there, that work look at, it's not in the notes, can we look at Habakkuk? It's what, about the fifth book from the end of the New Testament, Old Testament, 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, fifth book back from the end of the Old Testament. Habakkuk 1:5. Behold, you among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. I'm not going to, you know, this doesn't say anything about the mystery, or that Gentiles will be saved a different way by a different gospel, a new pattern gospel. But it does indicate that God is going to do something different there, doesn't it? For I will work a work in your days which you will not believe. And it's talking specifically about those the Gentiles. So, Acts 13:2, as they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. That's the rest of those prophets and teachers sent them away in chapter 3. Yeah, excuse me, in verse 3. But let's read it. Let's leave that part out, the part where the humans send them out. Let's read verse 2 and verse 4, Acts 13, 2 and 4 together. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So what I'm trying to point out here is that there, in effect, there were two sendings, one by the humans, those prophets and teachers, and one by the Holy Ghost. And the reason I bring that up is because if you look in Acts 14:26, I think it is. Let's look there here. 14:26. Yeah, that's it. Acts 14:26. We see, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. So that verse 2, sending out by the humans, ended here in Acts 14:26. Now, that doesn't mean that Paul stopped preaching the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek from Acts 14:26 until he was sent to all people in Acts 20. We can see many times that Paul preached the gospel. How can that be? Well, because of Acts 13, 2, and 4 are the Holy Ghost sending forth Paul. And that didn't end in Acts 14:26. That continued until it was widened to be ascending to all people in Acts 20, verse 6. All right, so let's go on. Acts 13, verse 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. That's John Mark that wrote the book of Mark, that left them, left the work soon after he heard what Paul preached there in Acts 13, he left the work. But Paul, late in his ministry, says, and bring John Mark, you know, he can be useful to me. So Barnabas took him I don't know if you could call it rehabilitated or worked with him, matured him, and later on Paul uses him. I don't know whether he was you could consider him a body of Christ believer, or if he was more like those in Romans 16:7 and Colossians 4:11, 10 and 11, I think it is, that worked with Paul even though they were Israel believers in the kingdom after they realized that God wasn't offering that gospel anymore, but they were already in that and called, you know, there were 1 Corinthians 7:18. I keep going back to this verse because it's so explicit. It shows that during that period between Acts 9 and Acts 28, there were two gospels being preached. There were people were being called into one or called into the other. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. So they had to meet together because they had been expelled from the Corinth synagogue, but Paul, you know, kept it separate between the two groups. I mean, they were in the same room listening to the same sermon, but they had to realize that they were called to different things. I mean, you know, one was called to the kingdom, the other was called to heaven, to the body of Christ, going to heaven, a heavenly calling. And we'll close with the sixth verse in Acts 13. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false Jew, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. And they were sent to the Jews. Here's a Jew. He was a bad Jew, but he was a Jew. And there were a lot of unbelieving Jews that didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But Paul preaches to him and to the person that that maintains him. We're going to quit there for today. And thank you for sticking with us. If you've got questions, now's the time to bring them up.